hour two of Canuck Central. And this hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less. Sat and Bake on Sportsnet 650. Get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. 650-650. Producers Ben and Eddie are on it today. Mailbag coming up in a few moments. Any questions, keep getting them in. We'll try to fit them in. People excited about the postseason to some extent. I don't know if Canucks fans are excited about their team, though.
Because, what do you mean you don't know? You absolutely know the answer. You just don't want to say it. It's like Canucks fans are not excited.
No, at least, okay, so this is what I will say, because I think we can often get caught up in being in our sports bubble, right? Because, course, like, you know, yeah, we're talking to the hardcore sports fans. We're interacting with them on social media, on text inbox. But it's not always a full representation of the entire fan base. Like, it's not. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a, like, so I think sometimes we get caught up in, like, this is what people are saying here. And it's like, this means all fans feel this way. It's like, it's not quite like that, right? So I try to be a little bit careful with it, because I do run into fans that are like, I don't know. I stay off social media. I don't know what people are saying. I just watch my hockey. You know, that's what I do. I just watch hockey, listen to the shows, and I don't care about anything
else. Are they the same fans, though, that show up in October, though? I'm not calling them bandwagon or fair weather. They're just like, oh.
Yeah, a lot of them are. Like,
I'll show up and watch games. I'll support the team. But in the interim, hey, whatever they do, they do.
No, I know a lot of fans that will not be engaged in social media. Yeah. They don't like texting in. They don't call in. They listen. They watch. But they don't engage. And they look at all this and they're like, that's a circus. What's going on in the circus? You know what I mean? But we have a lot of people texting in. And, you know, an armchair Canuck. And he's like, you know, the Canucks have one-man core. They're cooked. You know, no legitimate path to being good. Others texting in saying it doesn't matter what the Canucks do. They're years away. Look at Colorado. Look at Dallas. They're years away from being there. And, hey, I get that feeling. I understand being frustrated about where the team finds itself. But all you can do, Bic, is try to make the team better. And then you see where the chips may fall, right?
Yeah.
And I know the confidence isn't very high in management right now. And hey, if this year doesn't go well and Quinn's not going to be here, guess what? We might have a clean slate again. You know what I mean? Like,
across the board.
Across the board. Like, we've had a lot of these. It might happen again. So, you know, you might get your wish if you want a clean slate and you want a rebuild and all these things. But in the meantime, there's still going to be an effort to try to make the team better. And as far as that goes, we have a lot of questions. So let's get to the mailbag. You send your questions in, and we try to answer them the best we can. Eddie and Ben, you guys have it today for us?
Yes. And we shall start today with Andrew. Which of the first-round playoff exit teams would be the most eager to make a drastic change to their forward mix, and could the Canucks be a team to acquire that piece? Examples: Minnesota and Rossi, St. Louis and Cairo, Ottawa and Drake Batherson, etc.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, the Canucks, I don't know if they're going to be in the Rossi, but I do see them being very aggressive in, like, whatever players are truly available. Mm-hmm.
But from the teams that have been already eliminated, look, it's something I was talking about on the show yesterday, on the People Show. I've got such a fear of what this offseason is, not even just for Vancouver, just across the league, that it's going to be a really boring offseason.
Well, you know what the thing is? Teams have cap space.
There's so much cap space for everyone.
Everyone can keep their players.
Yeah.
There's a couple of teams that have to make tough decisions, Oilers being one. Especially with Bouchard, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think there's some, like, Colorado, they can't keep all the guys they traded for instance. Yeah. Like, how do you keep Nelson? So there are a couple of teams that are going to have trouble, but most teams can keep their guys if they want to.
Yeah, and even some teams. So, like, the team I'll bring up here, and their GM kind of echoed the sentiment the other day, Tom Fitzgerald, just talking about, like, yeah, some changes need to happen. Okay, cool. If you can't make changes, like, you can't move Andre Palat. Oh, no, you just move Andre Palat down your lineup because guess what? You have $21 million in cap space. Mm-hmm. You're not even in a cap crunch. You just move Palat down your lineup and deal with that ramification rather than having to pay to get him off your roster. You go through the entire exercise, like the Islanders. Okay, they need some D-men. Yeah, they can just move Pelech and Pulock down the lineup. They're still playing $6 million to the guys in basically perpetuity, 30-30 and 30-31. But the solutions to solve some players you might be frustrated with is just, oh yeah, we got cap space, we'll just put you in a different role all of a sudden because we can go find and pay people to now go above you.
Yeah.
And this 8-year market and trend that we've got into for all the contracts, I think now that we've gotten through enough seasons of it, I think this is the logjam. Like, we're going to start seeing the logjam across the NHL now for this season moving forward.
Yeah, it's going to get tougher. And, because people talk about having cap space, and it's good that the Canucks have cap space, but it's not as good when everybody else has it too. Like, it was an advantage a couple of years ago. That advantage is now gone. So, to answer the question of the teams, like, so where are the teams again? Minnesota?
Well, the teams that were eliminated in the first round.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Minnesota, St. Louis.
St. Louis is not moving Kyrou. That's not happening.
Interesting team to me would be Minnesota. I mean, St. Louis, if they would be willing to move those young guys, but after the run they made, are they going to?
And the way that they lost, like, why would you be in a mood to make drastic changes?
Yeah.
Like, they pushed the President's Trophy winners literally to the brink.
Like, in the offseason, no. I know they flirted with the idea of Braden Schenn, but they chose to keep him, and they were justified in that choice. So they're not going to do it in the offseason. Minnesota's now through the cap hell. Colorado, they're not moving any of their good players, having just moved Mikko Rantanen, unless Nathan McKinnon's like, what are we doing here? Get me out of here! Like, that's not happening. At the Kings, like, they're not moving Byfield. They're going to let it ride out with Doughty and Kopitar, and they're like, there's our cap space.
Mm-hmm.
I find it hard to, like, convince myself with any teams here that are moving. Like,
I don't know how LA makes a big swing to get a high-end offensive producer to put him over the top, you know?
And Ottawa is, like, just got here. They're going to change everything about themselves.
No,
there.
I don't see it. I just don't see them doing
the
it.
The Devils are the team that we just kind of keep going back to.
We joke about the Devils.
No, but it's like...
But that's a team. Like,
because Tom Fitzgerald also acknowledge it. But it's not going to be Jack Hughes as much as we...
Isn't it?
Joke about it.
Are you sure?
Hey, maybe it is.
NHL but GMs? You think NHL GMs, there isn't one GM that's like...
Of the guys, of the players most likely to move there...
It's Rossi.
It's... No, no, from New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey.
Well, Timo Meier. Hold on. If you're looking
Meier
for a forward,
and Palat would make more sense of those two those two guys leaving New Jersey.
If you're looking for a forward, look at the guy who just scored and gonna have to do it via offer sheet.
Oh, Matthew Knies.
Is it 1-0?
Yes.
Did Knies just score again?
Involved at least.
Maybe he was in front of the net at least. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Taking the eyes away on Bobrovsky. Oh, he did score on the rebound too. Nice work.
There you go.
He's really good. I really love watching Matthew Knies. Like, he's really fun to watch play hockey. But, I just don't... I see Marco Rossi. Like, to me, if you're going to go after Rossi, I'd rather go after Zegras. I think he'd be cheaper.
He would be cheaper to acquire.
And I think the upside's higher. Okay, so why is Minnesota getting rid of Rossi? They need centers.
Yeah.
They drafted him.
Yeah.
They need guys. And there's like, yeah, he's... Come on. Like, I know people love skill creative players, but given how this organization operates, they're going to bring him in and do anything different than Minnesota's doing?
I don't know.
You know? Come on.
But, like, you could say that.
Like, I'd rather do Zegras, because at least he's got some size to him and a lot. So, like, they're good.
Is there a defensive acumen there? That's the thing. We had a text come in here, like, why wouldn't you guys want Rossi for the defensive side? It's the pieces that exist here. Who's going to play a matchup role?
Mm-hmm.
You got Hedl, you got Bluger, you got Suter, you got Ratu. Like, Ratu hasn't played 50 games in the NHL. To ask him to be the guy to be your...
No, it's too much.
It's way too big of an ask in a season where you got to have success. So, it's not... I like Marco Rossi. I'd like to see them maybe acquire him. But you then need to move a piece out to make it all work. And you still need to get a defensive center first. At some stage. But yeah, like, okay, Zegras and Rossi, sure. I think I'd... it's the same thing to me. It's like, you still need a defensive guy.
You haven't
solved the problem.
No, you haven't. You haven't. Next.
This from East Van Justin. Did the Canucks give up too early on Vasily Podkolzin? Nice goal last night.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not there on Podkolzin yet. Like, I think you got to give me more than a few games here and there. Like, remember, he had a good start to the year, and then he kind of cooled off, and now he's hot in the playoffs.
He's a nice player.
He's a nice player. I like Podkolzin a lot, too. Like, he also, like, I think he also wanted a change of scenery because he wasn't getting the chances here, too, right? But, I mean, I always liked Podkolzin. I would have liked to see him stay.
I think what's happening here is it's reinforced how bad it was that they didn't have a consistent plan for him.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I just always see him as a player that his offensive skill was limited. Like, there was never a lot of high-end offensive upside.
He's getting
upside,
a really good shot,
He'll flash some skill like he did last night with his goal. But he's a good worker along the boards, and that's why I like him at his best.
Yeah.
He's direct. He's fast. He's got a sharp defensive game. Like, again, okay, he's playing third, fourth line. Sure. It was never brought along with any sort of consistent, coherent plan.
No.
And it's such a disservice to the player.
Well, that's, you know, he came in during the no plan phase, and then he came in during the phase with these guys, and it just didn't, like, I don't know, maybe he got into too much into his own head or whatever, but sometimes that happens. A guy needs to get a change of scenery. You see in Vancouver, somebody comes and has success or whatever, but I always liked Podkolzin. If I had to choose between Podkolzin and Hoglander, I would have chosen Podkolzin some years back. So
yeah, that's Benny from the mock scenery is not the word I would use to describe Edmonton.
fair. Raymond says, I still find it dumb they traded him to Edmonton. Like, why Edmonton? Probably the only team that offered them, you know, an actual draft pick. That's probably why.
But are you really getting hurt by Podkolzin being at Edmonton?
At the end of the day, like, if he's a third or fourth liner, he's going to score, say, 10, 15 goals, get
he's
you 20, 30
something.
Points. If he does stuff like that, I mean, it's not going to be a big leverage thing, you know what I mean? Like, if he becomes a top six player, then we can bemoan the loss. But if he's, you know, a bottom six guy, it won't matter in the big picture.
No. This from Jay. What is the maximum the Canucks should trade to acquire their indigenous, good use of a word, third-round pick back? Would the Canadians entertain 17, 79, and 81 for 15 and 65?
Oh, I got to do draft pick math?
Yes, on the air.
On the fly?
Okay, so
you're trading back two spots to get your own third-round pick? So you can offer sheet in July?
Matthew Nyes.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
No, because would Matthew Nyes even qualify for the third round pick spot? Wouldn't you have to give him like more than that?
You need your third. Your first, second, and a third. You need your third no matter how you slice it, unless you go four first round picks. The only way you don't need a first,
the only time you don't need
your first if you do less than like a second round pick, right? Like, but the third
I thought it was
pick,
two firsts and a second. I forgot it was two firsts, second, and a third.
Yeah, the third, like, you need that. If you make any significant offer, outside of the biggest one, the four first-round picks, you need your third back. I don't know if I love the idea of trading down from 15 to get the third. But, I mean,
it's two spots, though.
It's two spots. It all comes down to me, it comes down to who's available.
I like that trade.
It's smart. Yeah. The heart plumber, it's smart. I like it. Jay, good job, Jay.
This one from John. How much work do the Canucks as an organization need to do to rebuild their image, both externally with UFAs, coaches, etc., and internally with their own players, namely Quinn and Elias Pettersson? Been quite a few years of chaos.
Well, I think there's a lot of trust that needs to be re-earned, no doubt.
I'll have a hot take on this one. Literally zero.
Really?
You know where all the hard work needs to go into? Win games.
Yeah.
That's where the hard work... Stop trying to win PR. Stop trying to do the media spin. Stop trying to do all these things. Just win hockey games and watch how everything takes care of itself.
We saw that take care of a year ago.
But literally, last year.
But that does answer the question, though, because it depends on how you want to answer it. But rebuilding your image comes down to success. Have success, your image will look good again. So how do you rebuild your image? It's not about what you say publicly. Because here's the thing. You can say all the right things about Pettersson from now on, and Pettersson can play well. But if the Canucks are a bad hockey team...
It's not going to change a thing.
Right?
It's not going
to
change
You have
thing.
To be good. Like, the only thing that changes your image is being good on the ice.
Yeah.
And can they handle things differently publicly? Sure, of course. You can always do things better. There's no doubt. The only way you turn this around is winning. Like, it's a very simple answer, but it's the truth.
You'll suddenly, like, all the things that exist as problems right now are still going to exist if they win, but suddenly you'll be like, oh, I can win a hockey game there? Cool, I'll go there. Who cares if they don't have a practice facility? Who cares the media's very intense and focused? Who cares? Like, ownership. If you win hockey games, players are going to want to go there. Simple. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
This one from Cali Canuck. We know Tok didn't trust Archer Shelovs and wouldn't play him, but it looks like as though Manny does. If Manny gets the head coaching job and is willing to play Shelovs, does that change the likelihood that Demko gets moved for top six help at all?
I don't think Shelovs plays a role in Demko's usage
at all
or outcome at all.
No, I don't think Shelovs. I think the only way Shelovs factors in next season is if an injury happens.
Yeah,
You know, like, I don't think she loves whether it's trade. I don't think he might be part of a trade if there's a big trade. Like, he might be a piece in it, but he's not a needle-moving piece in any way, shape, or form currently. And I don't think his presence on the in the organization changes anything about their goalies next year. The only thing he's going to provide is depth if injuries happen.
His days were numbered the day Lankanen signed.
Yeah, I wouldn't say numbered either, because who knows what happens with Demko. And yes, he has runway, but I don't think I think last year you looked at Shelovs and you kind of wondered, can he be the backup and be a guy? Now you're kind of back to square one, where it's like, we'll explore that if we have to, and right now we don't have to.
A Demko trade is not about Shelovs. It's about, hey, we need some other piece in the organization to bolster center, right wing, whatever it is. It would have nothing to do with Shelovs.
This one from Reese. What winger do the Canucks sign in the summer to replace Besser, and why is it definitely Nick Ehlers?
Go listen to the last segment. Oh, man. Again, the off season. What to do, what to do, what to do. What guy would they go get this summer? Okay, I hope it is Nick Ehlers.
Well, free agent-wise, and again, like, the thing is, Nick Ehlers can be, like, how much different is your team if you're swapping Ehlers and Besser? You can say it's a little bit better, but I don't think it changes anything dramatically.
No, like, you still need more.
Yeah, it's like it ultimately comes down to that center they trade for.
Yeah.
And I know there are a lot of questions about who that guy's going to be. I don't think we have a good answer. Like, we've given all the options that are available, right? We've talked about every single player in the league, essentially, that could potentially be available. I don't know if that's crystallized yet. Now, I'm sure that the team has an idea of a few guys, and I think a lot of them are the guys we've already spoken about, like, you know,
Norris is of the world,
of all those types of guys. I don't think that guy's going to be in free agency, though. Like, in free agency, the only guy I can see would be Brock Nelson. If he
wants to go to Canada, willing to
and
come
you can't
west.
Find the center, and it's like, hey, can he be a guy that can bridge that gap for a couple years at least?
He's a true, true stopgap option.
Yeah. But that also seems like a bit of a long shot from a free agent standpoint.
This one from Steven. If EB40 gets 100-plus points next season, do the Canucks make the playoffs?
Oh, yes. Yeah. If he's a 100-point player and Quinn Hughes is 90 points, they're making the playoffs.
Who also gets reciprocal benefit from that? Like, who also benefits from Pettersson being a 100-point player? In addition to Hughes, as you mentioned. But there's always a byproduct to it.
Token winger X.
To be determined?
Yeah. I guess Jake DeBrusk, like, he'll hit 35, but he's already locked into his contract.
Yeah, but still, his uptick is that benefit I'm talking about.
Yeah, DeBrusk would be one, obviously. But also, I mean, everyone. Patrick Alvin is a beneficiary of that. It's like, we made the decision with Pettersson over JT. I was right.
Starting to get into the evergreen portion of things, from Leafs Singh. Are the Canucks' new seats the biggest accomplishment by this team in the Pettersson era?
I mean, technically it was last year, right? They got to the second round of the playoffs, a real playoff. And I know it doesn't sound great. And I get Leaf Singh's making a joke. Yeah. I get it, right? But, like, probably the highlight must be last year. Isn't last year the highlight of the Pettersson era? You made the playoffs, real playoffs.
Yeah.
You got to the second round.
I'll put another one in here. I'll say Quinn Hughes winning the Norris is the. I guess it's
not. That's all part of the.
Yeah, but as far as things that have happened in the Pettersson era, Quinn Hughes winning the Norris. It's really the Hughes era, to be honest. But.
I think people forget that 24 season was the third best season in franchise history for the Canucks, in terms of wins and points. Right, like winning 50 games.
Yeah,
like it's the third best besides the back-to-back President's Trophy years.
It's a big deal.
Staying on the seats from Jim Leahy, how much would you pay for an old Rogers Arena seat as a memorabilia item?
Nothing.
Yeah, I'd want to get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not paying.
They don't.
I don't care about. I'm not very.
They're not like
the Montreal Forum or.
No, I really
Maple
don't
Leaf
care.
Gardens.
I really don't care about that stuff too much. You know, like, where am I putting it?
Yeah.
Are they nice seats?
No.
No.
No. Okay. Look, I know we like complain about them, but just objectively as furniture.
Probably not, no.
Are they nice seats? Because
they'd probably do better.
The second best chairs in Rogers Arena. And the best chairs are those Orca Bay metal folding chairs. Those are outstanding. They're made of steel. They're padded.
Yeah, like I know, like finding baseball seats, and they can have an appeal to them, like old stadiums. And there are some that look nice, but in general, like I don't necessarily look. I look those seats as like, oh yeah, those look cool. I love them as a piece in my home.
Mm-hmm. Like, No, I'm good.
I saw someone with a Pacific Coliseum seat in their office.
Yeah, I'd rather have like plastic bleachers, because at least that looks like. It's probably more sanitary, too, given the cloth and everything like that. But I'd rather have that.
Yeah, they don't really have a lot of appeal to them. From Adam, exchanging the seats at your kitchen table for the old ones at Rogers Arena. Trying to find a use for them. It's like you have a big gathering or whatever.
No. At your kitchen table, I guess you would need a cup holder because you can just put it on the table.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm good. No, there's nothing I would want. No, yeah. I wouldn't pay a single penny for it. Even if you paid me, I'm like, why?
I think there's some discussion of us trying to bring some seats here.
Yeah, if they want to do that, I mean, whatever.
And I was like, we don't need.
I know that was Dom's idea, right? Yeah. You wanted like a whole row of them or whatever.
Yeah.
No, he said, hey, I spoke to them. We can get a whole row of seats. I'm like, great. What do you want to do with them?
Yeah, I'm good.
Put them in the bullpen.
Yeah.
This one from Phil. Can the Pope guarantee the Bears 10 wins for 4,000 yards for Caleb Williams?
It really is like,
well, if the Bears don't have success under the Pope's tenure, they're never gonna have success. Like that's gonna, you know, like it's, if it doesn't happen under the Pope from Chicago or Illinois, I should say, then it's probably never gonna happen for
you. Don't even need to make a pact with God. You just make a pact with the guy who's a fan of your team.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Come on,
as close as you can get,
dude. Can you help us out here?
The closest man to that. All right, good stuff.
That's great.
Now, we have some overflow. We have some questions coming in on the text inbox, 650-650. We'll hit some of those on the other side. We'll check in on what's going on in the NHL playoffs. You are listening to Canuck Central on Sportsnet 650. And Jampro, from conference rooms to kitchenettes and everything in between, Jampro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit jampro.ca. More next on Sportsnet 650.